are now listening to What the Bell with me, Bell. Come along and join me as I bring you on wild turn and twist of adventures from life's lessons, love advice, and just the pursuit of living your best damn life with a little sprinkle of gossip and positivity. So sit back, relax, and grab your hot tea, because here we go. Let's start the show. Hey guys, hey, guess who is back? That's right, your girl B is here. Oh my God, it's been a month and maybe a little longer than a month. Guys, let's catch up on all the things. Are you ready? I don't think so. So I will have to start this off on the saddest note I possibly could. For those of you listening who maybe follow my personal page and on Instagram and Facebook, you may have seen that my family, my husband Adam and I, have suffered a tragic loss, and that is the loss of Adam's father, my father-in-law, Pops, also known as his actual name, Loli M. Nunez. This man was a force to be reckoned with, and I know, like, I'm gonna end up getting emotional because that was my father-in-law, and you know what? A lot of times people don't because they don't really that close to their in-laws, but when I tell you him and I had such a bond, we had such a bond. I think even outside of, like, Adam and my mother-in-law and our family even really knowing the bond that we had, like, when I tell you this man would share stories with me that he probably hasn't shared with anybody else or felt comfortable to share. And I'm going to keep those stories with me forever and not say anything because guess what? It's not anybody's business. I'm going to hold those close to me. So he's tragically passed away. A little spill on that story was Claudia and I were actually in Fort Worth doing some gown shopping. And early December 1st, I received a text message. And if you know me, I have my phone on Do Not Disturb. Nobody can reach me, like, at all. I just happened to wake up. Adam sent me a text. My father-in-law had health-related issues prior. And, well, it happened within a matter of minutes because the next message I got after I texted Adam was, he's gone. So after I, of course, had a mental breakdown due to all this. We all know how I handle death, correct? I mean, I don't think anybody's ever very much so prepared to say goodbye to a loved one at all. We raced back to home. We left about 5, got here a little bit before 9 or 10, or I can't remember now. But yeah, the funeral process took a while because, you know, his oldest and first granddaughter, actually lives in D.C., and you can't you can't lay grandpa to rest like that. You know, you can't, you know, put somebody to rest without their first and oldest grandchild there. So my father-in-law, while he had already transitioned into heaven, we laid him to rest on December 14th. That was, this whole month of December was extremely difficult. Different and not normal. Nobody really knew how to tread with it and how to really navigate, you know, the emotions and the feelings that we were all feeling. And as I've learned, obviously from my own, you know, run-ins with death, is that everybody grieves differently. And my grieving isn't like your grieving or like Adam's grieving or his mom's or my sister's or anybody else's. And so trying to navigate the grieving process while trying to plan the funeral for such long periods of time, lead your life, and then also during the holidays, it was tough. I will say that, you know, Christmas wasn't Christmas like it was. The Nunez Christmas brunch was not as one would have wanted. You know, he was definitely missing and you could tell that. First and foremost, that is one of the main reasons, the biggest, if not the reason, that I hadn't been podcasting, because everything was just so much. There was so much to do. And shout out to my family, my sisters, my friends, you know, listeners, and everybody who genuinely cared and came to our side during that moment. Whether you reached out via text, a message, if we don't have each other's numbers, you sent food, you bought food, you did a meal train, you know, you popped in at the rosary, you came to the funeral, any of the things, you know, thank you so much. It really puts into perspective about the people who are there for you in your corner, even if they're not so hands-on. You know, I love the fact that one of my besties, Jamie, y'all know producer Jamie, she popped in at the rosary. Y'all know Jamie is a busy woman. She is a mom. She works two jobs. She runs a whole household. She works out like crazy. She does her dance with a different dance company, and they do shows, and so they have rehearsals, and, you know, she still came through. You know, she did not let anything else pull her away, and I am forever grateful for producer Jamie and my other friends that came through. Like my other friend Jamie, I have two Jamies in my life, you know, other friends that he used to work with the state and stuff. Like, they came, like, so many people came through, and I don't hold grudges or anything, but, you know, it really just showed me who was truly there and made zero excuses. So that's where I'd been. It's still a process, you know, now that, you know, things are still needing to be done around, you know, the household and to clear up everything that was Pop's. And so I still feel like, you know, we're all grieving in certain ways. And of course, we all have our moments, and it's very much so natural. And the main thing is to, what I've learned after being in a deep, dark place of depression, is that you need to take care of yourself by any means necessary. And it's a slow process. I understand. I get that it's easy to fall into a hole of not wanting to do anything, not wanting to take care of yourself, not feeling motivated to do anything, because how can you continue with life when you've lost something or someone that is just so meaningful to you? It's hard, and it isn't easy. And I see that. So regardless if you're grieving during the holidays, which I hope to God nobody grieves during the holidays, because it is such a sad thing to even do, but grieving nonetheless isn't easy. And I just hope that you remember anything that I've ever said without this podcast during those times, because you can't do everything. You need your own support system. And people do care. It's incredible how many people actually showed up. From people who didn't know me to people who had never met my husband, had never met my Nunez family, who had never met Pops. But they cared about us in a sense of, this family needs help. It was incredible. Also, make sure to be there for your people, for your circle, whether it's family who lost somebody else on a family or a part of the family you're not related to, friends, coworkers, you know, acquaintances. If they mean something to you and you have them in your lives for whatever reason, make sure that you reach out and just, hey, are you okay? Don't ask that 50,000 times, but then just be like, hey, I'm here if you need anything. I'm so sorry. And show up for them. They might not say it, but they will. And be prepared, because some people can keep a hardcore grudge if you do not. And I can kind of be one of them. Just saying that out loud, because it's already here. Granted, we're all going through our own shit, but look here. And I've even said this in the dating world. If you wanted to, you would. And if you cared, you would be there. That's all I'm saying. Okay? Okay. I can talk more on grief on another day. This is a welcome back show. So welcome back, everybody. And let's get right into it. I am in full on pageant mode. That's right. I am officially your Mrs. Austin Plus America 2023. And I am competing for the state title of Mrs. Texas Plus America 2023. It is definitely a whirlwind and far more political than I could have even imagined. From trying, and you guys know I love to talk, right? But having to alter the way you talk to be a little more eloquent, y'all know I'm hood, to be a little more professional. I can be professional when it does call for it. And to say the correct things. These interview questions are insane. Some can go based off of, what do you think about cryptocurrency and should it be the new form of payment accepted at any retail place? To what do you think about immigration reform? To what do you think about what kids wanting to identify as being transgender? It goes into a bunch of different things. And then you can also get those little questions that are like, what's your favorite color? Or what would you tell yourself? What would you tell your younger self about body positivity? Like, it's crazy. And doing this homework on it has me kind of laughing. Not laughing at the pageant system, but laughing how the questions can defer and you have to be ready to go as at a moment's notice. So just to say it again, I am not crapping on pageant questions, but it's just crazy how wide-ranged it is, and you need to be ready at a moment's notice to answer them. Just wanted to make that clear. But I've had the pleasure during this time to have multiple Zoom meetings with said queens that I'm either competing against or they're in the Ms. or Miss categories. And they're so nice and so sweet and so lovely. I actually get to meet them on the 21st at our official pageant boot camp. Yes, it is what you're thinking, just like Miss Congeniality. And it will be here in Austin, Texas. I'm very, very excited because I'm basically here at home. I don't have to worry about navigating certain things or driving elsewhere. Other queens do. I'm sorry, ladies. And I really, really would like to apologize for the traffic here because it is atrocious. Hopefully it won't be that like that on that day. I do have a pageant photo shoot coming up next Wednesday, which is going to be so much fun, and I'm very much so looking forward to it. And if you haven't seen it already, I burped, guys. Well, welcome back. I have an event happening on January 27th, which is a Friday, from 7 to 10 at Lulu's off of Manchac in South Austin, and it's called the Crown the Queen event. It's going to be me out in the community, just kind of be like, hey guys, here I am. Welcome me. Let me welcome you. What can I do to serve you, whether you're a small business or a person? And how can I get more active within the community? But let's party, right? Burupinja party. Let's do it. So I'm going to have drag kings and drag queens. And you're going to be the first to hear it now that I'm actually having my friend Monica, who is Dance with Monica ATX on Instagram. She is an incredible and talented salsa, merengue, bachata, all the Latin dances in one. And she's actually going to be doing a performance with her dance partner, David, I believe. And I'm super excited about that. So, guys, you heard it first about one of the first performances. So, you're so welcome. Thank you for sticking with me during this time. But, yes, it has just been a whole thing. And there's more to come with this. So stay tuned on the pageant front and stay tuned on life front. But let's really get into some topics here because it's been a hot minute, guys. So one big hot topic that I've been seeing around recently is the term nepo babies, you know, nepotism. So it's fitting, right? Because we're seeing a lot of celebs that have famous parents and they're all over Hollywood, right? So there's so many of these out there. It's kind of hard to differentiate because some of them were like, holy crap, they are a nepo baby. While others have honestly just done the dirty work and have gotten to where they are because they had to go through the mud for all of this. So like, I didn't know Gracie Abrams, which you would have figured because of the last name Abrams, but she's actually going on tour with, Taylor Swift for the Eras Tour. Is actually the daughter of J.J. Abrams, and y'all know him for Lost and The Force Awakens. And, I mean, a variety of other things. Of course, you have Nico Parker that's going to play Sarah in HBO's upcoming series, The Last of Us, where she's the daughter and actress of Thady Newton and director and screenwriter Parker. And what I didn't know here, and I love watching this show, is the sex lives of the college girls act, the sex lives of college girls. The actor Charlie Hall is the son of actor Julia Louis-Dreyfus and written producer Brad Hall. So, you know, look, I'm all here about like, hey, if I make it, you coming too. Like, when I win, we all win. Like, let's do this. And I actually don't. Okay, maybe this is a big like topic for myself. Maybe because I don't see anything wrong with it. But you can't say that you did it on your own, right? You can't say like, I came from the ground up. I did it all on my own when you did it. That's where I have an issue. Just call it what it is. Yeah, my dad's this, my mom's this, my sister's that, my cousin's this, my grandpa, my uncle, blah, 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 blah. Whoever is whoever, right? I mean, much can be said about Steve Harvey. We all know model and entrepreneur Lori Harvey, also the one who broke Michael B. Jordan's heart. But I'm not going to go there right now because then it's going to put me in a Chris Evans spiral. And I don't think we're ready for that. I really don't. But there's a variety of other people that are, you know, like Noah Cyrus, right? Obviously, we know she's Billy Ray Cyrus' daughter, but obviously Miley Cyrus's sister. And then could we forget Sophia Richie or Nicole Richie, daughter of Lionel Richie? Let's be real. But there are also others that have came up from the ground up, done it all, like Millie Bobby Brown. At 8 years old, she said she wanted to do whatever it took to be an actress. And here she is, right? Also, from Stranger Things, Caleb, how do you say his last name? McLaughlin? Look here, that's one thing I need to practice. But Jenny Ortega, hello, Wednesday, now famously known as Wednesday. She's incredible. And which, kudos to you, girl, for that whole Latin cast on Wednesday is incredible. I haven't finished it because I've been busy. But also, Iman Vellani, she put in her audition tape for Miss Marvel. And guess what happened? Exactly. It's history. But there's so many very much so talented people, both that did and were blessed to have somebody in their bloodline give them the opportunity, the stepping stone that they needed to make a name for themselves or their own name for themselves. Whereas there's people like Jenny Ortega who had to go through all the things to become Wednesday Addams. And I just think one of the things you have to do, even in real life, you might be like, where are you going with this? Even in actual our real lives, normal day-to-day, everyday Joe Schmo lives, is that we need to recognize it and not try to hide it. I understand there's some jobs out there that don't want family to work together because of, you know, you might favor one over the other. In all honesty, I don't give a shit. If you do your job, you do your job. And as long as you don't keep them around when they're doing a shit job and you just own up to it. The fact that you're like, yeah, I'm here because my dad owns the company. I'm here because my sister is so-and-so. I'm here because my mom is this person. Like, own up to it and say, well, that, you know, while I might have had this fortunate stepping stone, I have had to do X, Y, and Z to prove that I am worthy of being here at this company or doing whatever or being part of this community organization, blah, 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 blah. I think that's what differentiates it. You can't say you did all the hard work when all you did was get born and your last name was Harvey. Or your last name was Jordan, or your last name was, I don't know. I can't even think. Baldwin, you know, Kardashian. So let's really think on that. I think that's an issue, not a big of issue that many people are trying to make it out to be. But what do you think? Do you think this is an issue? Being a Nepo baby is an issue? Or should they be forced to? I don't know. Because you can't change being born into the family that you're born into, right? What you can do is prove you can do the hard work. I don't know. I want to know, what are your thoughts on this? Am I just a little stupid and don't understand this, or am I hitting the nail on the head? And let me tell you now, there is one documentary that I did not think I was going to watch because I don't really care about the royal family like that. But let me tell you, when I watched the Harry and Meghan docu part one on Netflix, whoo, what did I just love it. It's a 6, 7, maybe 8. Can't remember because I'd already watched it, but it is a little mini series. The next part will be let out soon via Netflix. But it is just incredible how they are beating the palace at their own game, beating the press at its own game, and really just sharing their story and their experience, their journey, their struggle, and what brought them to where they're at now. And I know a lot of you are probably listening and be like, oh, great, royal talk? Who cares? They have money, boo-hoo, I have a problem, my brother don't like me, I got kicked out of my family, who hasn't? But it's just so much more deeper than that. The amount of, and I know you're going to be like, here we go with the race stuff, but the amount of racism that, you know, Meghan had endured and still endures, you know, with the British press over there and still being used against them while they're not even part of the royal family like that, to having Harry being a scapegoat for any and everything, making him or putting bad press on him just so that way other people look better. Talking about his brother and Camilla. But that's all I'm saying. Revenge is a dish best served cold or over many courses of paid books and Netflix series. I'm here for it. Okay, let me just tell you. Well, Harry just came out with the much anticipated and intentionally controversial, bleh, that was a mouthful, memoir, Spare. It is a bombshell. It discusses, it's more than just a quick read, first off, let me tell you. And sad, then sensational. And it has all sorts of loneliness, the frustration, the rebellion that one would expect from a still young motherless prince whose royal bubble of a life had been narrated through the emotional whipsaw of tabloid headlines. An earnest, almost childlike attempt to explain what that life felt like to the boy and the man inside the bubble. Taken from the LA Times. Beautifully said, and I couldn't agree more from what I've seen on it, from him even talking about it in different late night shows to seeing on TikTok the various clips of the 60-minute special he did talking about it and talking about his life now and how he loves being here in America and just living life. It's incredible. You know, you can look at their story and think like, whatever, cry away your tears with your money, like just, but it's just so much more than that, because the more you look at their story and you hear it from their side, it's more than just what we see in the tabloids or when you're checking out at the supermarket or what you scroll on through TikTok and any other social media or even BuzzFeed for that matter. And at some instances, you can see the trauma that he went through and they still endure, and kind of see it into your own family in a way based off what kind of family dynamic you have. And you don't have to have a whole press kit like the British do. And yeah, it's a hot mess. But did you know that he had never been allowed to hug his grandma, aka Queen Elizabeth? Never. He wanted to at one point. He did at one point, and she like, or tried to, and she juked. I say juked. It sounds funny because I think about football. And yeah, he had to apologize for that. And, you know, you couldn't do that. And it's just crazy how, you know, I don't know, as a kid, you would need that from your grandmother. You would want to be loved. And even as an adult, like, who doesn't want to hug their grandmother or their grandfather or anything like that? Not me, we play tag, but that's nonetheless. Anyway, I highly recommend you checking out the Harry and Meghan Netflix series, part one. Do it now before part two comes out, because then it's just going to be a lot. And you're going to be like, when am I ever going to get to this? And Look, if you're not a reader, get the audiobook. If you don't do this kind of things, just scroll on TikTok. You'll get the gist of everything. But speaking of football, it was very, very tragic when DeMar from the Buffalo Bills took that unfortunate hit to the chest. And when I tell you that brought up some very intense feelings, at least with my household, because my father-in-law did pass from a major heart attack. And there was a various of other things that was kind of sadly at the right time, but not the right time, if you understand what I'm saying, that happened to him months before. And so to see DeMar Hamlin go down like that and an ambulance on the field and not knowing if he was going to make it, and then to find out, you know, what it was intense. And in all honesty, I know a lot of people in general will say, oh, athletes get paid too much. Football players get paid too much. I hope this gives people the time to see that while we all enjoy it at home, at a bar, having a Super Bowl party, whatever it is, or even there at the game, these are real people risking their lives for our pure entertainment. And you might be like, well, that's what they signed up for. Well, they signed up to play a game that they love. They didn't sign up to die. You know, they didn't sign up to endure, who knows, an extensive amount of rehab or have to lose a limb or, I don't know, break something, or like what Hamlin, what almost happened to Hamlin. Yeah, it was heartbreaking and my heart was very heavy. And I'm so glad that after 9 days of being in the hospital, he is now back at home recovering. And I'm very, very glad that although he was put on the injured list, that he will be getting his full payout for the year, because usually they cut that sucker down to basically nothing. You can go from $33 million to $3,000. And let me just tell you, that is a substantial amount. I don't care if you're living modestly, if you're living recklessly on a high-end yacht. Like, that's unfortunate, and there should be better protocols for players, especially when they get hurt. Because like I said, they're out there making the team, the owner's money, the sponsor's money. You know, they don't get, unless they got a great contract, they're not getting any kind of residuals for their name and likeness to be put out there. And they're the ones taking the hits. They're the ones taking the blows for it. So I encourage others to think with an open mind and an open heart after the tragic experiences that we've all saw on a world's stage happen. You know, it isn't easy. And I do hope that he makes a full recovery. And in all honesty, I hope he does not go back to playing football, because I would be livid if that was my brother, or if that was my husband, or if that was my cousin, anybody, my friend. I would be like, no, you cannot go back out there and play. It is ridiculous. You almost died out there, not because it was your fault, but look what can happen. And who knows if he's going to be dealing with anything further on down the line. Of course, that's between him and his doctors and his family, you know, medical professionals. That's not here for us to know unless they want to share. But I'd rather be safe than sorry. You know, I'd be thankful for the days that I have now and the time that I've been granted. And I know that would take a big hit to his spirit and mental health. So I do hope that he is also going to be getting the help, if not now that he currently does have the help, but getting the help that he needs to take care of his mental well-being, because doing something you love and then being injured from it, and then, I don't know, are you going back? Am I going back? You got to take care of that too. It's extremely hard. On the subject of health, guys, I am excited to announce that for 5 years, my pituitary tumor is stable. It was a very joyous occasion for myself and a big sigh of relief that I am okay. I also had seen during this, and this all happened in the month of December. So could you imagine all the things that I'm dealing with? Like, I was not well. I was just going through the motions of trying to navigate and go through and make it through the funeral, you know? So I was very blessed to hear that. I was also very blessed to get other news that since I was once diagnosed with lupus anticoagulant, my last three results, one, two, three. Yeah, this is, I think it'll be my third or fourth. I have been negative for lupus anticoagulant. It can be in remission, or it cannot be doing anything because I'm not pregnant. So I'm very blessed to have that news. And one more piece of news is that I am extremely excited to, and I haven't seen my doctor. I will see her next Tuesday. So you get all the lowdown and dish on this. And remember, guys, this is a catch up like episode. You got to catch up on my life right now, especially if we don't talk on the regs. Last week I got some blood tests done, to see where I was at with my prolactin. And if it was stable, I would not be seeing my doctor for a full year, which is great because it saves me money. As long as everything's stable, I am elated to announce that my prolactin is not just stable. It has went down. I set column points. It went down 5 points. And this is big news for me. And I don't know what I've done to be so lucky or for to have that change. But I look forward to continuing this track. So, with that being said, please make sure that you take care of not only your mental health, but your physical health as well. We only have but one vessel, and we can't help our family, we can't help our loved ones without taking care of ourselves. It is imperative. And make sure you advocate for yourself. I am a strong advocator for advocating for yourself at your doctor's office. If you don't feel like you're being listened to and heard, even if it's for a minor cough, see somebody else. You know what? Pay the co-payment. Just do it for peace of mind. It'll help you. Trust and believe. I have another story to share on that about a peace of mind and an anal thing. But we will share that next week, guys. So I am so excited to be back. This was a catch-up episode. And I cannot wait to give you the full-on What the Bell experience next week. Maybe I'll bring Adam on. Maybe I won't. Who knows? If he feels like talking, he might not. I don't know. This man's doing 50 million things too. But look, I'm okay with it. Anyway, guys, as always, follow me on all the things. And as I have a new platform on social media, follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Mrs. MRS Austin Plus 2023. All right, guys, till next time, I can't wait. Please take care of yourself and enjoy the little things. Hey guys, the fun doesn't stop here. Make sure you're following us at the link in the bio. And yes, we are on all the things.